Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring Shoddy and Slim. Two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaws sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up for Shoddy and Slim.
I just want to say, welcome to an earful in the Emerald City, and you are listening right now. I am Shoddy. Across from me is Slim, and our guest host for tonight.
Very special guest.
This guy made the most savage Oklahoma City joke. I'm not going to say it. You made the most savage joke. But what is your name again?
Blake Kiltoff.
Blake Kiltoff. He's going to go by Snake tonight.
Yeah.
So we got the three S's.
The snake,
Shoddy, and Slim.
Yep. Coming at you, a little triangle offense here, just like the 96 Bulls.
Shit, that's played out.
Yeah. No, thank you guys for joining us, though. Appreciate it on Earful in the Emerald City here, guys. If you're a first-time listener, thanks for giving us a shot, guys. We'll see if we can entertain you. We definitely got the guest with the right credentials in here to get the job done. Mr. Blake Kiltoff, glad you could make it, man. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, you know, the feeling is mutual, my friend. It's good to have a guy who's deep in the local comedy scene here helping us out. And a guy that there's certain people where you have that connection where you can kind of just play off of them, you know. They're a little ridiculous. They go a little crazy, but you can still play off it just right.
I wish we had some of them here.
I know. It would be so nice. Our friendship would be even better than it is, but... I mean, you know, we can always hope, I guess. So, but no, thank you for being here, man. Yeah, and thank you guys for joining us again. We got a couple of little topics to get into here, but first off, let's talk about the week that was 4th of July. You guys, how did the holiday treat you guys?
I hate the 4th of July now.
Why is that?
I hate it.
Why?
You hate it? Come on. Are you a real patriot or not, huh, Blake?
See, that's the thing. That's the thing right there. It's fucked up. It's really fucked up that we send these guys out into the field of fireworks, and there's all these people who, because they love their country, every year someone gets a hand blown off, right?
I think you're thinking...
They're doing that because they love their country. Meanwhile, we've got these kids coming back from Iraq who had to be forced onto the van to go to Baghdad. They're like, I don't want to go, Sergeant. I have a stomachache. It's like, no, you do it. You do it. You do it. Because they're not losing hands in Iraq because of love of country. They're doing it because they're being ordered to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 4th of July is really fucked up because we're making a bunch of true heroes into cripples. I'm still... Wow. I'm sorry about that, man.
No, what did you good. Do on 4th of July, though?
Oh.
So we
got sparklers for the kids, and we bought one pink fountain thing, and we lit it off at 8 o'clock, and then the baby went to bed, and then I took Moss, the 6-year-old, up to Everett to see the fireworks from a park on the bay. Very, very, very pretty show.
Where do they launch them off from?
Like from the big park up by the Navy base.
Oh, okay.
So we did that, and I was having a hard time with the sparklers. Like I gave the kids sparklers, and I said, "Now be careful with these because they're not toys." And then I thought, you know, they are toys. They're like literally toys. Like sparklers are the thing you give to kids to play with, and they're just toys that are also flaming eye picks.
One time use.
So I'm trying to explain to her, like, they're not toys, but the fireworks over there that we blow up for fun are not toys. They're dangerous. And it's like, boy, that's really fucking hard to like have this big rule about safety, like don't ever play with fire, and then every year you take your kids to watch you play with fire. Mm-hmm. Like, this is really cool. This is because we hate the British or something.
It's because we're true Americans.
And she doesn't get it. I mean, she's six, right? And when you were six 100 years ago, a big fireworks show would be like the highlight of your summer. Mm-hmm. It'd be like you'd be thinking about it in the winter when you were hungry because you guys like ate too much turkey in November, and now you're out of rations for the rest of December. Like, you'd be like, ooh,
no leftovers.
That fireworks show we saw last year was real great, Pa. I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah. Exactly. But, that'd be the biggest thing ever to you.
But to a six-year-old today, fucking fireworks? That's a 2,000-year-old form of entertainment, and we're not updating it to celebrate our country's independence. Like, well, you know, if it was good for...
Damn, you got a good point.
So what should they do? Should they have an app that goes with their firework display, you know, so you can track it?
I'm not a visionary. I'm just Twitter. A critic. I'm just a critic. You're a critic. All of holidays.
It's, you know, what's funny to me is like I got pretty patriotic on the 4th. I didn't really have that much of plans. And I was watching this documentary, this old History Channel documentary on the Revolutionary War. And that when they were writing the Declaration of Independence, like, and they thought in the future about July 4th, the Independence Day, they literally wanted us to blow shit up. Like, they even said that in their description of how they wanted to celebrate. I mean, they basically said exactly what we do, minus having a barbecue. You know, that's like the only part that they left out. And I was like, wow, these guys had really had some good foresight, you know, to see 200 years in the future, we're still going to want to be partying our ass off, drinking and blowing shit up on this one day every summer.
Did they explain why they wanted it?
Well, you know, they just wanted to be a joyous celebration. Huh. You know, of the great day of this new nation to be born. So, but that was fucking crazy. I mean, oh man, that was a good documentary though. I mean, you think about the shit that people back in the day went through, like how easily we can just go to the store and get a new pair of shoes if our pair of shoes sucks. Like, but back then they wore the same boots for like 4 years straight and they wore them like every single day. And I mean,
well, yeah. And back then there was a whole profession of people called cobblers who cobblers provided repairs to shoes and things too.
What do? Do you just get like a chunk of leather and just kind of integrate it into the toe of the shoe and it's blown out?
Yeah, maybe. Or you take off that whole piece of the shoe. I mean, that's probably a big part of why the traditional shoe design, even when it's no longer necessary. Like, when imagine a leather boot, you can kind of imagine the threaded patterns or mm-hmm. the patches. That's probably why they're patched together that way in the first place, because that way you can replace pieces.
That's true. Hmm. That is true. God damn. Yeah, but this fucking documentary, though, they were talking about when they were crossing the Delaware. You know, they did that in, I think it was Christmas night, and it was snowing and shit, and there was ice on the river. Some of these guys that were going across the river, they had cloths wrapped around their feet. They didn't even have boots. It's like, can you imagine going through that shit?
You were lucky to have a cloth.
Oh man. There was some old guy grumbling about that.
Do you remember that sketch from Monty Python?
No, I don't. Actually, I think I saw it a long time ago.
It's the old bunch of old guys hanging out talking about how hard they had it when they were young, and they're just constantly one-upping each other. It's like, oh, you were lucky to have a box. Me and me whole family lived inside a 3-inch tin can.
the notorious one-upper. Oh my god, that's so good. Yeah, it was. God, it was fucking brutal though, man. I mean, the struggles that we have today are nothing compared to what people went through back in the day. I mean, it's just,
well, that's
it's fucking
true,
insane.
But we are taxed in other ways that would drive them literally insane.
Ooh, of course we don't know the struggles of what people went through back in the day, because you know what my ancestors were doing on July 4th, 1776? They were picking fucking cotton. Yeah, it got pretty awkwardly silent right there.
Well, no, because
you motherfuckers know the truth.
Well, we're letting
you
talk.
Well, yeah, but I was also just preparing to say that, like, you said July 4th, 1776?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure everyone went to work that day. That was a normal day in the British economy at the time.
Yeah,
there
was no
revolution.
Yeah, but that's the day where America was, you know...
signed the Declaration of Independence.
And everyone was supposed to be free, but I don't... think any.
No, it was Declaration of Independence. It wasn't it. That's a letter that like had to get mailed to the King of England. That that day is not was not significant to anyone at the time. Like the guys meeting
was
there,
significant to black people.
Well, no, to anyone. Like they met in secret, right? So like it's not like they went out on the July 5th, 1776 and like stood up on a box and were like, okay, we sent a letter to the king and we're all officially rebels now, because there were like, you know, British soldiers everywhere. They they had to like travel.
And
to,
loyalists and shit.
So it's like, it was pretty much a normal week.
They were...
They signed the Declaration of Independence and then every... Yeah, slaves were... Had it real shitty.
Thomas Jefferson, July he wanted 5th. To... He wanted to get something about slavery in there. He wanted to get it out, but
yeah, I just read that.
But he knew though that it was just going to be too big of a fight, and he wasn't going to be able to overcome it, especially with the southern colonies, and the timing just wasn't right for it.
That's
you know,
a
they
really,
had other shit that they had to worry
that's
about.
That's a really shitty way to apologize for that. That like, boy, I'm just okay. Imagine we live in another country and we didn't just automatically love Thomas Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a pretty shitty excuse to like not, like, well, yeah, he was gonna, but he's so smart. He's so wise that he knew that if he did, it would be bad.
You sound like someone from Drunk History of Comedy Central.
that's kind of actually.
Anyway, my 4th of July, I hung out in South Seattle, and we didn't watch fireworks. What we did was I got together with some friends, and I bought some red wine. It was called cheap red wine. Literally, it was called cheap red wine. Bought some, killed the bottle, and I got this great idea for the little get-together. We got on YouTube, and we started playing 90s music. Reminiscing on some nostalgic 90s music. I'm talking about Savage Garden.
Oh, my God.
Alanis Morissette. Some Lenny Kravitz. What's that song? If You Steal My Sunshine. That one.
Oh, that's... I fucking... I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Third Eye Blind.
All that good junior high stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And we... Oh, and I busted out with some Britney Spears, Hit Me One More Time.
Mm.
Baby One More Time.
You would. You are a true patriot.
Dude, Britney Spears was fine.
That girl's still getting it done, man. She's always like releasing like a picture of her abs like every 4 to 6 months just to kind of stay. Oh, look at how good she's looking now. Oh my God, look, she's done so much work. It's just like, God, these people, everybody just wants to stay relevant so bad. It's almost kind of sad.
Well, I mean, social media helps you with that.
Am I really hosting this show?
That was a nice callback there, Blake. It was beautiful.
Are you attempting to stay relevant?
No, you're not hosting. You're
I
just
actually was. Yeah, I heard you say that, and I took that as my cue to say something.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. You got to get involved in the conversation somehow, some way. But
I told you not to give me more weed.
You know, it's you got to be dosed if you're going to be in this environment properly.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sick and tired of making mistakes on my own.
Yeah,
I want to bring somebody else down with me.
All right, let's get to the topics, because
yeah, I know.
You know,
he's got some topics.
You know, shit's about to get real.
Oh boy,
for at least 20 to 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what? He's going to talk about the issues.
Yes.
Get ready. Strap your seatbelt on.
Strap your seatbelt on.
I have to tinkle.
Oh geez, we should have gone over this.
Oh man,
that's all right. He's fine. You can get it going here, and we'll talk.
Okay,
this guy can get in the mix.
Say their names. Sterling Sturrow. What the fuck's going on, Slim? There was another angle and the shooting in Baton Rouge. There was another angle of the shooting. And it clearly shows that he did not pull out a gun, where it was reported that that was the reason why they shot. He clearly did not have a gun. Up 1,000 miles away, up north in Minnesota, traffic stop. Cop asked the driver, "Can I please see your license and registration?" He goes for it. And he says, "By the way, I just want you to know, I'm a concealed holder." Cop shoots him 4 times. And that's when the cell phone recording comes on. And the girlfriend, who is very, she keeps her composure and explains what's going on. And while the guy is dying, the cop is still pointing his gun in the car while a 4-year-old was in the back. I don't understand this. This has happened too many times and it's got to stop. What I want to know is, where are the, in quote, good cops that are calling out bullshit on these bad cops? I've been working since I was 18 years old. And every job that I've had, when I'm not doing a good job, because, you know, I lived in Texas, so and Texans, they don't give a shit. They will call you out in the workforce. They will publicly call you out on your bullshit at work. When I wasn't doing a good job at work, I got publicly called out on it. When I saw someone not doing a good job at work, I publicly called them out. Why aren't the, in quote, good cops calling out the bullshit on these bad cops? Why aren't they saying that, hey, you murdered this man, you murdered this woman in cold blood? This was not a justified shooting.
Because these people they're in the trenches with them every day, and they know that the shit that they had to deal with and the people that are problematic in the situations that are tough to defuse sometimes, and they know that it's difficult.
That's not a goddamn excuse, okay?
It's a fraternity. It's like a brotherhood, man. It's like people that go to war together. You know, they're on the same team. I mean, that's how they look at it. They look at it. It's us against them. You know, it's us, the police, trying to
protect and serve, mm-hmm. not to protect and the whole fucking world's against us. They cannot look at every citizen that they for a fucking traffic stop as a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
To protect and serve, they took a fucking oath, Slim.
Yeah.
Come on.
I know it's tough, man. I mean, you know, it's been happening for a long time, and we've been talking about it so much in the last year because obviously with the prevalence of cell phone cameras and whatnot, it's just always so easy to capture any of these instances that occur. But I don't know. I think you got to look at these isolated incidents aren't good. Obviously, the last couple, I don't know the story all that well, but I mean, it's clearly they're both not good. I mean, there needs to be probably some sort of indictment, hopefully, in at least one, if not both of these situations. But I don't know. I was looking at the numbers, and I think this is 115 black people shot. And it's funny, and it's black people, but it's really black men. I mean, I don't think a lot of black women are getting shot. Maybe a handful of those are black women, but 115 black men shot this year. So it's not good, obviously, but I mean,
it begs the question, are all racists sexist?
I think clearly it is. Yeah. And they're Donald Trump supporters as well too. So they got all those things going. No, it's just, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what are you insinuating is going on here? I mean, is there something systemic that, you know, we don't know about, the behind the scenes, the some hidden agenda, or
I wanna,
Halloween. I've seen some people on Facebook say that. I've seen some people on Facebook saying that it's Obama that's trying to get his agenda out. Even though he signed last year, like a few days after gay marriage legal in all 50 states, when that came legal, he signed a protection order for all police officers that not a lot of my conservative friends really know about, but he signed some law to like legally protect police officers. But no, I don't think that is. You know what I've always thought, and no one's ever brought this up. Don't you think there's like some secret society in within the police force for racist police officers, and their agenda is to just to exterminate black people, all black people who they encounter.
I mean, if their goal is to exterminate, they're going to have to pick up the pace a little bit from 115 a year. You know, you're going to have to be putting up some bigger numbers if you're trying to do any ethnic cleansing or anything like that. You know, I mean, at least get it up to 250, maybe 300, somewhere in there. But I think it's just a situation where all people kind of get shot. I don't know. What do you think on this one, Blake? I'm curious to hear what you got to say.
Well,
How bad is this problem? What do you think?
I want to quibble with your idea that they would be trying to do it directly. I think that there could very well be a secret cabal of racists who are trying to instigate a race war to the same effect.
That's true.
It's hard to imagine a bunch of cloak and dagger guys like the Skulls getting together and being like, all right, we're going to get rid of the blackies by infiltrating the police department and shooting them all one by one. Like that. I don't know. I agree. I don't think that's really what they're doing. But I could imagine a secret cabal of KKK types, maybe the KKK itself, having conversations where they basically say things like, well, you know, if we really promote a culture of violence in the police departments, it will spill over into the black community.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that already. Let's just keep promoting that culture. Let's buy all this surplus Iraq war gear, and then we have an excuse to start training cops in paramilitary things.
Mm-hmm.
This is all what's happened.
Yeah.
Maybe it is based in actual Harvard, Yale, white-collar racists running Washington. Maybe not. Maybe that's a little too far-fetched. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you never know in this country. Honestly, in this country, anything's possible. But I mean, you're right. If you wanted to put the numbers up, you got to turn it into a war. I mean, that's when you can get the big guns out and then really start doing some damage. So that's the way to go there.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what happened in L.A., right? They called out the National Guard during the riots.
Yeah. But so here's my question. I mean, what does Black Lives Matter? What does that contribute to this? I mean, how does it make this situation better? What are they going to do at this point? How do they react to this, do you think?
To what?
What's their action? I mean, what do they do here?
You know, we want justice.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we want. We want justice. We want these three police officers to be indicted, and we want them to be punished.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we want.
I don't follow the news. What three police officers?
The two police officers who shot the man in Baton Rouge. Even though that...
He's selling CDs outside of a...
Selling fucking CDs.
Outside of a convenience store.
Selling fucking CDs. That's all he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Were they...
They shot him six times. They shot him three times, and then like 4 seconds later, they shot him another three times.
Wait, was he selling like the NCAA 17 version of CDs to kids or something? Like...
No, it's probably like a mixtape, I'm guessing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, somebody's... Somebody's mixtape, you know, they're getting their career off the ground.
I didn't even hear about that.
Going grass.
Oh, that's the Baton Rouge one. Grass, I've seen them blowing up on Facebook.
Going grassroots at the local 7-Eleven.
All these people talk about the Baton Rouge shooting. I didn't know. I never saw the story. And then the one about the guy in his car. I heard about that today.
These are the two that people are.
I'm seriously thinking about selling my car and just riding the bus fucking everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Transit police will protect you. They're pretty good. Yeah. They are. They're nice guys. Yeah. I've talked to a couple of them.
Yeah, right? as long as you don't cross the fucking at the bus stop and at the bus stops downtown when they're below. As long as you don't cross you don't cross the other side,
mm-hmm.
you're good. Because they, dude, the fines for that are fucking huge, and they are fucking assholes about that. Yeah. Like at the Pioneer Square station is notorious for people running across the other side, because if you need to get on the other side, you got to take the escalator up and then go down the other escalator instead of just running across the other side, because that's dangerous. There's the light rails that go through there, buses that go through there. I've seen people do that, and those transit officers, they will fucking bust you. You think that they're nowhere. I've seen people fucking look left, right, like for 10 seconds, and they're like, okay, I got to go on the other side because the bus I need to catch is over there. They'll fucking run, and then all you hear is a big, hey! Seriously, those motherfuckers, they'll come up with the biggest bullshit. Well, I didn't see the sign. And they're like, shut the fuck up. And they'll write you a fucking ticket. And I think the fine for that's $200-$300. Like, just don't be fucking lazy. Go up the fucking escalator, go on the other side, then take the downward escalator, and boom, you're there. Don't fucking risk running across the other side, because they don't want you to get fucking hit by a bus or a light rail. Mm-hmm.
Do they at least wait till the person gets to the other side before yelling at them? Because it seems like you're just increasing the risk.
That's true. If they stop,
hey, stop! Stop right there!
Oh my god,
that's true. Back to what we're.
This is what we do here, Blake. Riveting public transportation.
No.
Bet you weren't expecting that.
Oh shit! Anyway, no, we just want justice. It's all we want. We've seen too many cops get off.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen too many cops, and these are okay. I'm gonna be honest. Do I see the guy? Do I see the two cops in Baton Rouge getting indicted? No, because they're gonna use that the man that got shot. They're gonna use his criminal record. They're gonna use that to justify the shooting, and I think they're gonna get off. And because it happened in Louisiana, which is a very segregated racist state, Minnesota is not. It's not as liberal. The state not Washington liberal, but it's pretty liberal. The mayor's a Democrat, and he says straight up, this would have never happened if he was white. I see that, and if you watch the video, the cop's fucking paranoid. He know he fucked up.
Mm-hmm. We missed the very first part of the video, but I wish you could see that. But yeah, if what she recounts from the story is correct, then yeah.
And she's been fucking. She's been accurate, and she's been consistent with her story every time she's talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if it's true, if it's true, if he was just reaching for his license registration, and if he did say, hey, by the way, I have a concealed permit and I'm carrying, and he shot him, that cop's fucked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at manslaughter, and he'll do some time.
Yeah, they can't forget the fact though that his girlfriend's name, it was Lavish. So I think that it's going to be important for the court to not forget about that when they're weighing all the evidence and what's going on there.
What does that have to do with it?
Well, you know, maybe he thought this guy was pimping and in the game, and
oh my god,
you know, I mean, with a girlfriend like Lavish, Jesus, that just seems like. No, I don't know. It's fucked, man. It's fucked, and like I said, it's always been happening, but now we're seeing it all. I don't know if it's ever going to completely stop, though. I think it might be unrealistic to think that that's possible. I don't know. What do you think, Blake?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that.
I got an idea. I got an idea for the Baton Rouge guy, the guy selling CDs. I got an idea. Why don't we release or leak a copy of the album and then let the public decide if the beats are dope, then the cops got to go. And if the beats suck, then, you know, they're free of charges.
You're did he have a family, asshole. Though?
Yes, he did.
Well, then that's shitty. I mean, if it was like a really shitty track, then you don't want all of America to tell the dead guy's family that he had no talent.
Hey, listen, it's a hard reality. Hey, this kid's got to grow up
with. This guy that we're all pissed off got murdered by the cops. Which let's have a public vote on his track.
Yeah, but if his beats were sick, they'd be like, this was bullshit. We were robbed of a good-ass lyricist. This guy's got to go.
That's fair.
That's fair justice. That's all I'm saying, you know? Let the beat speak for itself.
I just gotta say, I don't think he'd be selling them on a street corner if they were that good. Like, if they were that good, well, where a nationwide poll, most people would be like, oh, that's really good. I'm mad that he got killed. Mm-hmm. Then he probably would have gotten further than the street corner selling his own CDs.
Big things have small beginnings.
You know what? I have to acknowledge, I'm assuming that he was a lot older than, like, 20.
I want to say he was probably late 30s at least.
Okay.
I'd 37.
Say. Okay. 37.
Because no one said like a kid was killed or a young man in the prime of his life.
Yeah.
So I haven't.
They would have definitely given you that tagline.
Yeah, I haven't heard any of those social cues. Which is where all of this, well, he wouldn't be selling him on a street corner, comes from. The assumption that he's not young. Because if he's young, he's got to start somewhere. If you're 36 and you're hawking CDs on a street corner in the middle of the day. It was the middle of the day, right?
Yeah, I think it was.
It wasn't like he wasn't like out at night after working a full day at work and like still struggling to pursue a dream.
I don't know. I think it was daytime. I feel like I saw a clip of the video and it was still kind of light out. So maybe not completely.
That would be weird to be on the street corner selling CDs at night.
Yeah, that's true. You'd look really suspicious. Like you might be getting into something else. But it's just one of those situations. It's tough because if the guy wasn't there loitering, nobody would have called the cops on him. You know, I mean, obviously,
oh,
it doesn't.
So the cops called.
The cops were called. I don't know if it was by the business owner or not, but somebody called the cops and they showed up.
Apparently,
and that's how the situation
apparently
came to
he
be.
Pointed a gun at someone earlier.
Okay, so you know, the guy he wasn't completely guilt free. You know, I mean, these aren't just random people who are getting
he didn't shoot anyone
chased
though,
down by the cops. No, he didn't. But
well, the guy in the SUV was kind of random. I mean.
It was a traffic stop, yeah, and it escalated way too quickly. That's for sure. But that video at the beginning is cut off. So I wish you could see when he tells the guy that he has a concealed carry permit. What happens? I wish you could
see
that
guy has no record, and he worked.
Know what's going on more?
That guy had no record. He worked at a cafeteria, and apparently he was a good guy.
Yeah.
How old was he?
I don't know.
I think he's early 30s. I think like 32, I think. Yeah, and you could hear in the video, actually, like the cops in the background, and he was yelling a couple times. He was like, fuck! You know, like you could tell that he was not feeling good about the situation and where he stood in it, you know, especially when his city's mayor is telling him if he was a white guy, that wouldn't have happened, so... I mean, we'll see. We'll you got to let the justice system play itself out here. And people want to start rioting and getting their candles and their paper plates, you know. But it's like you got to give it a little bit of time and hope that the justice system isn't completely fucked, like we all kind of think it is. So
people get out. Conservatives get outraged over a fucking gorilla getting shot. But when black people are getting shot, well, we all know how they react.
Mm. But see, that's part of the problem here, though, is like we got to be together on this issue. We all got to be on the same team here. You know,
you've seen me express this on Facebook. I'm pretty sure that you have. Conservatives, a lot of conservatives, they are so fucking vocal on profiling Muslims and talking about defeating ISIL, but when it comes to racism, they fucking hide or they try to downplay it. They don't want to talk about it. You can talk to them about any. You can talk to them about guns. You can talk to them about defeating ISIL, Muslims, Hillary Clinton. But when it comes to racism, they just fucking steer clear of that shit.
But where's the racism here? I mean, you're saying racism is the reason that these black people are getting shot?
No. Okay. In order, I've said this all the time. In order to defeat racism, we got to talk about it. We got to come together. We got to talk about it. But then they say, why does it have to be about race? We all have to come together. Why is it about? I don't want to talk about it. I'm sick and tired of hearing shit like this. They don't want to talk about it. Racism is like a disease that you get. When you're sick, do you just ignore it or do you try to treat it? Be a realistic, reasonable answer.
Yeah, you try to treat it. You know, hopefully it's treatable.
Exactly. Same thing with racism. Then. You can't ignore it and just expect it to fade away. You got to treat it. You got to talk about it. You got to get other people's point of view. They're not Facebook friends anymore, but a lot of people that were Facebook friends, they chimed in on Facebook about these situations. So shit like this doesn't happen.
I think that would be a great idea.
Make it part of driver's ed.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Why not? I mean, just proper etiquette for when you're in those situations, you know, cause again, you catch somebody off guard and who knows what they're capable of at that point.
Because unfortunately all cops are not the same.
No,
they're not. There's some cops that I'm pretty sure, you know, there would have been a different cop who could have handled that better in Minnesota. But no, he unfortunately got pulled over by a half-cocked, paranoid officer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, in the video, he started screaming, "Fuck!"
Yeah.
He knew he fucked up.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. You get scared. You get caught up in the moment. And people just react crazy. They're humans. You make mistakes. But I think you got to look at the big picture here, though. And I think you got to say, even 115 for the year, while that's definitely not good nationwide, I don't know if that's an epidemic. I don't know if a little bit over 2 per state, maybe 3 for the year, I don't know if that's an epidemic. In a country this big of so many goddamn people, you're going to have some fucked up shit happening from time to time. It's a numbers game, and there's too many for it not. It's unfortunate, but I mean, it could be worse. I feel like it could be a lot worse. And who knows, maybe if tensions rise between local police forces, I mean, like you said, they're arming some of these guys with some crazy military shit. I mean, I don't know if they're getting ready for something specific or just dumping off a bunch of old
surplus gear.
Yeah, exactly. Old shit that they've already paid for, and they got to buy new shit because they got to keep the money cycle going, you know? So I don't know, but we need to address the issue though. And again, it's, you know, police, trigger happy police. And I think that guy in Minnesota, I think he's going to at least lose his job if nothing else. And he might end up doing a little bit of time. And I don't know. I mean, like I said, hopefully the court system will work itself out, but I think we're bringing it up. At least people are talking about it. And I think if nothing else, that slowly will get us to some kind of resolution, or we'll just keep talking about this all the time because it'll keep happening. Who knows?
Okay,
Blake. Do you, as a person who has children, do you feel like that you're obligated to have hope in the future?
Yeah. I like the way you phrased that. Obligated. Like, I can't be too much of a bummer about the future.
Mm-hmm.
A little voice in my head censors me and is like, "Nope, you better just continue on." With the assumption that everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm. And it's all going to work out.
And this global warming thing's overblown.
I got a question for you, because you are a parent.
A daddy.
You're a parent, a daddy. Are you gonna have that talk? Are you gonna have a talk with your kids about racism? The reason I asked is because I don't know if Slim told you, I grew up in a very prejudiced town where the high school I went to, the mascot were the Rebels, the school flag was a Confederate flag, and our fight song was Dixie. And I couldn't go through one day in high school without hearing the word nigger. And I remember when I was 13 years old, a kid came up to me and he asked, "Why you get so mad when you hear the word nigger?" And he did not know, like, the significance of that word. And I'm just like, where are you getting this from? Are you getting this from your parents? And they're throwing this word around at home. And, you know, I feel like a lot of kids that I grew up with, their parents really didn't explain to them about shit like that.
That makes sense. I mean, if your direct experience has kids in it who are naively racist, yeah, they're probably getting it at home. And we are getting pretty close to the time when I'm going to have to explain the concept of slavery to Moss. Like, she's six and, you know, she knows the word slave, but like, she doesn't really understand that concept. Yeah.
And it may not come from home. It may, and I tell my friends as who are parents, most of the time it's not coming from home, but the parents aren't giving them the talk, but they're getting it from their friends. They're getting that shit from their friends, and as a kid, we all know kids are easily influenced.
Yeah, but how do you control what they're getting from their friends, though? I mean,
well, you gotta have that talk. That's why you gotta talk to them and say, "Look, I don't give a fuck what your friends do. You know, if your friends are doing that shit, don't hang out around them. That racism is unacceptable and it's disgusting. You don't have that talk with them. If parents don't have that talk with them, they're not gonna know how fucking serious it is." I got my feelings hurt. I got my feelings hurt a lot growing up, man. With that bullshit. I hate to be a fucking Debbie Downer on the show, man, but I mean, I feel like that's something that all parents of color should talk about. That should be just as important as the birds and the bees talk.
Mm-hmm. But it's such a lame way to give somebody shit, though. You know, I mean, I understand how it could be hurtful and it would affect you, and obviously it'd rattle you up, especially when you're a kid and stuff like that. I get it, but it's like the lamest way to give somebody shit or be rude to them or, you know, be mean. I mean, there's so many better ways to do it, and it's just, unfortunately, I think kids are just kind of terrible. I mean, the kids that I went to junior high with, a lot of them, even the ones I considered friends, they were terrible people at that point in their life. I mean, they're not anymore. They've grown through it. But when you're so lost as to who you are as a person, I mean, you just sometimes making somebody else feel like shit is all you need to make yourself feel better, because you don't know what the fuck's going on with you, you know? I mean, but you can't really tell your kids, though. You can try to say don't hang out with this person, but to a certain extent, you can't control that, can you?
Well, as a parent, there's a lot of research now. They actually just started coming out this year, supporting the idea that kids will overall end up better if you don't try to control them, if you let them exercise judgment. But you have to do it in a controlled way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're older, if your young kid is being exposed to ideas or an influence that you want to stop, you can just stop it. You can say, okay, well, I'm sending you to a different kindergarten, or okay, we're not doing play dates with them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But once the kids get to the point where they're wandering off by themselves and going and riding their bike to a friend's house, then it's hopefully by that point you have taught them enough so that they will just make a good judgment call.
Yeah.
And if they come home and start talking about how their friend is acting like a racist, ideally, you should just be able to have a conversation with them where you kind of help them make that judgment call. Like, oh, well, do you remember we talked about racism? Do you remember what that means? Yeah. Yeah. And so when Jimmy says stuff like that word, or he talks about Joaquin like that, how do you think that makes them feel? And, you know, hopefully you've taught your kid to be, have a little empathy. And he goes, well, it probably hurts their feelings. Yeah. So do you think it's a good idea to hang out with him? No, probably. Like, ideally, that's how you get there, because you can't tell a kid, no, you're not going to hang out with that kid anymore, once they're at that age where they can just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're not going to be able to complete. Well, you, and you
so basically, my point is that it's kind of both. It's kind of the parent trying to control who the child hangs out with, but it's also the parent teaching the child about slavery, or excuse me, racism early on.
Yeah. And you just, like you said, you got to give them that adversity and put them in those situations and hope they make the right choices. I mean, you can kind of guide them, but the second you try to tell them what they can or can't do, then a lot of times you just lose it.
It's a lot like pet training. Like, you start with the simple stuff. So like, you're teaching them to make good judgment. So it's not just you're guiding them as they make choices. You're picking the scenarios where they pick. Like, we let our daughter dress herself a lot. And she asks, like, can I wear this? And my wife will sometimes be like, no. And I'll be like, no, we don't let her dress. And then she goes out in the stupid outfit. She feels embarrassed. And she's like, I guess I won't wear this again. Like, you set them up in scenarios where they can exercise their judgment and fail. And it's safe. So that when they're 18 and they're being offered heroin, they have developed good skills of judgment. Like, they have, their brain is just good at making a decision and not being pressured by external factors.
Yeah.
So that they make a good decision, because you won't be there.
Wow. Blake, you've read a book or two on the subject, haven't you? Or maybe, do you actually hang out with your kids a good amount of the day?
Both.
A little bit of both.
He's a savage comedian, but he sounds like a good parent.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, he's got a lot of good material out of those kids. So, you know, it's not a one-way street.
Oh, it's nice you call it good.
Hey, got you some feature spots, man. Come on. Give yourself some credit.
Okay, let's end the show on a good, funny note. Kevin Durant from OKC left to go out west to the Golden State Warriors.
Going to do some prospecting.
Yeah. As King Five's Paul Silvey said, he said it best, Oklahoma City finally knows what it feels like to have something ripped away from them.
That just feels a little, I don't know, naive. I mean, no, I recall 10, 15 years ago, Oklahoma City experienced the ripping away of a building.
Oh, no. That was 21 years ago.
They're pretty familiar. They're pretty familiar with the sensation of loss.
It's not the same kind of pain, okay? Blake, it's not the same kind of pain.
You're fucking... Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus. It's... I can't believe this, man. I actually agree with Stephen A. Smith, that cocky bastard.
Yeah.
For once in my life.
If you can't beat him, join him.
Well, yeah, he couldn't. They shit the bed. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like these monster lineups. It's just, I don't even know, man. It's like the fifth or sixth place team in each division now. They could, like, win the Olympics every year. Like, the first couple teams are just so stacked. It's crazy. And everybody's getting like a $25 million, $50 million deal for 2 years.
It's that new TV deal, man. They got all that money now.
God damn, dude.
Who the fuck's Mike Conley?
A multimillionaire. That's
who the fuck is Mike Conley?
Fucking A, dude. It's in, sports is crazy these
days.
Dude,
if you're going to buy NBA 2K17, I suggest that you make the house rules. No one picks the Warriors. Yeah. That should be the house. Hey, you can make any team but the Warriors, because that shit is not fair.
They were so close to beating them, though. And then you're going to switch teams? You're going to go to that team who...
What the hell are you talking about?
In the conference finals, the Western Conference Finals.
Do you watch the NBA?
No, I don't follow.
OKC had the Warriors. They were down 3-1.
I understand that Oklahoma City came back. A game recently.
Well, no, they were up 3-1 in the conference finals. They had to win one more game, and they let the Warriors come back and beat them in the series still. And they got to the finals. And now Kevin Durant is joining that team that came back and beat them in at the end of that series. So it's just like, he's like, oh, we almost had it.
So I thought the NBA championships happened a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it's already done.
And now there's more basketball in the news. So I've been very confused literally this week because of this whole...
oh my God!
Things. There's something called off season and free agency.
Yeah, well, there's been deals, so they've been talking about deals. But let's talk about this actually, because I want to discuss this because this is crazy to me. A lot of the NBA players have been dropping out of Rio this year. You know, we got the Summer Olympics in Rio later this year, and the state of Rio is just in fucking chaos. From what I hear, that the people are telling tourists that the police can't protect them. They had a beach that they're doing volleyball on that dead body parts were washing up on. I mean, just all kinds of shit. They got Zika going on down there right now. I mean, it's completely fucked. And I feel like you hear this every year when the Olympics comes around. Like, these cities are so inadequately prepared. They put up these crazy buildings, like these ice luges and all this bullshit that they'll never use again. But they spend a bunch of money and create a bunch of jobs building all this shit. But... It sounds like it's gonna be a fucking disaster down there, and honestly, I can't wait for it.
Wow.
Think about it, dude. In a couple decades, the Brazilian people might not exist anymore. This Zika virus might wipe them out, like a plot to a Paramount movie.
Do you know how hot Brazilian women are, though?
That's why I'm saying this is a big problem.
Okay.
And those asses, are you kidding me? Holy shit. I mean, what if that happened? What if in 30 or 40 years, Brazilian people didn't exist anymore and the country is just empty?
Well, how do you figure?
Well, they all go sterile.
In 30 or 40 years, they'll all be dead?
Well, okay, you got some teenagers now. Yeah, they'll still be around, but think about that, though.
I'm 31, and I don't plan on being dead in 40 years.
Like, let's be honest. You got a couple things that aren't in your favor right now, all right? I mean, it's good to be optimistic, but at some point, you got to be a realist.
I mean, my brain might be migrated into a server somewhere, mm-hmm. but I'll be alive.
40, 50 years, okay. Half a century, these motherfuckers might not exist.
Well, the nation state of Brazil might not exist in 40 or 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
The singularity might be coming sooner than you think.
Is this a new world order?
I just read iRobot.
Oh, yeah.
There were some ideas in there that were quite interesting. Yeah.
Dude, that's the thing with this breaking up, or the Brexit, Britain leaving the Eurozone. It's like, that's what they're going for, is that one world government, that small bureaucracy that controls everybody and has control over all of it. And just seeing this shit start to unravel, we don't even know where the fuck this is going to end. I mean, this thing, what happens if five other countries want to get out? What if Spain has a vote and they want to get out? What if Greece wants to get out? I mean, this could be insane. This could be like the breakup of the Roman Empire. I mean, who the fuck knows at this point?
Texas is next.
They're going to secede.
Yeah. Instead of Brexit, it's going to be called Tex-it.
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 I say, you know what?
We're going to leave the Union and we're taking back Mexico.
They probably would. They'd have Rick Perry lead the charge against El Chapo.
Everyone lift the wall.
Speaking of El Chapo, that motherfucker escaped again.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I read it.
Did he dig another tunnel?
I don't know, but he escaped again.
It was a black helicopter this time. Took him out.
Oh,
dude,
shit.
It's just going to keep... That's the crazy thing, too, is we're doing all these wars in the Middle East, and Mexico is completely fucked right now, and they are right next door to us, and it is completely fucked down there. Like, there's thousands of civilians that are dying down there each year, like thousands. It's almost to the point of a civil war, and yet we're dropping bombs in Syria and Libya, and where's the new place? There's a new place we're going to be hitting soon.
North Korea?
They better watch their shit. They better watch their shit. Why isn't that China's problem, though? I mean, why do we have to deal with everybody? I mean, what the fuck? Can we get a little bit of help here? Does anybody else know how to kick ass and drop bombs?
Well, yeah, but that flies in the face of established American military policy of the last 50 years since the start of the Cold War.
Yeah.
It's basically been, since the end of the Cold War, the doctrine has been America must have the strongest military in the world by far. Like, that's the doctrine. So I think there have been a lot of power plays done in politics in America in order to get funding for research and building more things, as well as in the executive level in terms of foreign policy and trade deals and military deals and assistantship agreements that America over the last 30, 40 years has really positioned itself to be the most powerful military in the world.
Yes, so, yeah. By building weapons that they will never use, mm-hmm. and that money could have gone towards something else more useful.
So yeah, China could help with North Korea, but their military is not as big and bad as ours. So
yeah, but they're looking to prove themselves, though.
Well, yeah, they're catching up. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, the question, isn't North Korea their problem? Yeah, but you know, if your neighbor's a firefighter and you're not, and your house is burning down, you'd kind of be shitty if the firefighter was like, that's your problem, that's your house.
Hey, somebody's got to put that shit out, you know?
I'll loan you my hose.
My water pressure hasn't been good lately, though. It's just so many engagements. And then they had President Obama talking about Afghanistan. At the end of this year, we're going to have 8,500 troops in Afghanistan still. I mean, what are we on? Year number 14 here? The goddamn revolution took 6 years to fight. And that was when you were getting around on a horse and a buggy still. And that year, that fight took 6 years. We've been in Afghanistan for 14 fucking years. Yeah, what are we doing here?
Okay, but we are the British in Afghanistan. The British were sending resources, not by horse and buggy, but by ship. Mile-long voyage across the ocean. It was a six-year war because the British are such pussies, they got tired after 6 years of sending ordnance and reinforcements by boat. We're sending our troops twice as far, and we've lasted over twice as long. So I think that's something to be proud of. Not
proud.
Let's see how long we can keep this war going.
We got to be on some kind of record here.
Right?
Well, I mean...
We don't need this war.
Who can manage a campaign like this?
Are never going to let us live down the fact that they've got the 100 years war. It's always like, American, Vietnam, 15 years, I'm so tired. We had the 100 year war, you bitch.
Oh, almost two decades. Oh, jeez. That must have been tough.
So it's time we took it back. We took our title.
We're always holding that shit over our head, goddammit. You know what it takes? You know the rations you need to keep 8,500 troops fed halfway across the world?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's not like they're going to be able to like get pork there.
160 different countries with a base in them, though. That has to be some kind of record as far as how far our reach is.
In terms of distance, I mean, the Romans had far more influence over in terms of numbers of cultures they were affecting, I think.
More than... I guess we're not affecting those cultures in a lot of those countries. Mm. We just have that base that is ready to launch bombs.
They definitely had more than 160 bases out and about.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they didn't have Air Force, so they just had garrisons all over the place.
They said fucking... I know, but that's what happens, though, is you stretch yourself out, you stretch yourself too thin, then you leave yourself open just some Muslim suicide bomber attacks, and then the whole thing goes to hell. You know, this is how it happens. I mean, this is Empire Collapse 101 here.
Why'd you say Muslim?
Because I'm a bigot.
Because he's fucking profiling you guys. Swipe!
Because I'm a race baiter, and I'm a bigot.
Yeah.
And they're all terrible people.
Yeah.
Man. It's getting late.
It is getting late, and this conversation has bummed us out quite sufficiently, actually.
I was just getting excited.
I know I was kind of getting a little interested in it there. I love talking about the military and shit, because I think that's really what's going to take us down. I think you can't spend those big of numbers.
Nah, I think we'll be fine.
You think so? Oh, that's right.
I have to.
That's right. You have kids.
I have to.
You have no choice.
I really don't. I had that experience once. I was at, of just realizing how brainwashed I am.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Fred Meyer, and I was just buying some groceries, and talking to the cashier about how expensive the food was and how little money we had and how tough it was. And she's like, yeah, I've got six kids and I know it's hard keeping them fed. And you got to decide between which school supplies they're going to be able to get in the classroom and which ones you really have to buy for them. I'm like, yeah, it's just like, how does anyone do it? And then she looks at me and she goes, but they're worth it. And I go, yeah, they're worth it. And then I walked away. I got like 10 feet. And I was like, why the fuck did I say that? They're not worth it. It's fucking awful. It's just awful. It's like, I mean, I have no choice. So they're worth it. And I realized that, like, I'm so biologically brainwashed. Like, I sound like a guy coming out of North Korea who just came out of like a re-education study. It's just like, yeah, the little tyrant who's taking all my money and ruining my life. I love him. I love him. He's great. Praise to the glorious leader.
I was just watching a Jim Jeffries, his special Bear, the other day, and he has a great analogy he makes with smoking cigarettes and his kid. He had a newborn kid with his girlfriend. And he said he loves his kid just like he loves cigarettes. He likes to hold him for 5 minutes, an hour, and then the rest of the time he thinks about how he's fucking killing him. I was just like, oh, God, that's what it has to be. But, and you know, it's funny. I say you got to have hope. You got to be optimistic. My brother, he thinks a lot of these issues, he's just as pessimistic as me on a lot of the shit. And I'm like, how can you have, kids, man. You have kids. You need to step up that attitude. I'm allowed to be shitty and try to bring people down and, you know, sit in my one-bedroom apartment by myself and slowly radicalize myself via YouTube videos. I'm allowed to do that, okay? I don't have children. But you need to step it up. You need to get the optimism going here a little bit. But that's the tough thing about the kids, though, man. I don't even know how to act.
No, it's not tough. I mean, it's basically like a permanent high, right? Like, I'm not saying that I am forced to be optimistic about the future.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's a facade I'm putting up in order to tuck up and bear. I'm saying that I have a wire crossed where I just suddenly had kids and I just suddenly stopped worrying that the world was going to end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, oh, yeah, no, everything will be fine. And it's probably evolutionary. Like, we probably got programmed to be very pessimistic right up until we have offspring. And then we're programmed to become very complacent. So, like, you know, before you have offspring, you're wandering around fucking and killing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have babies to protect. So suddenly your brain says, it's like, hey, you know what? This is actually a pretty great place right here. I feel safe.
Yeah. Get into the system and figure it out, buddy. All right. It's not just about you. Yeah, I know. It's good to be optimistic, man. I mean, you know, if you don't have any hope in the future, then
yeah,
what do we do? What have we got here in the present? We got nothing then, you know. So
just a hovel.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little hovel.
As long as we all just are nice to each other and, you know, keep your hands visible during all traffic stops, I think we might be able to figure this all out and be okay. So
they should include that shit in driver's ed, seriously.
That's a great idea, Blake. And, you know, we're going to lobby for this. All right. I'm going to get my candle and my paper plate and we're going to march and we're going to make sure that they include proper stop safety in driver's ed.
It'll never happen.
Hey,
what makes you think that?
Because it will, it'll piss off the wrong people because it basically acknowledges that the issue of police brutality is real and that. So basically, from like the school,
fucking bullshit, guys. You'd say that,
yeah. Basically, that like the school systems come up with like, okay, this is a great idea, right? You don't pass a law. You this would be a whack or something that gets sent to the school board saying like, okay, this needs to be put into the curriculum, or the DMV. So then I think it's a federal idea. It's not really a law. It's like the president says, okay, DMVs, I want you to now include this requirement as part of driver's education certification. Okay. That happens. Okay, what's the reaction? Well, a bunch of people see that and they'll basically go on social media being like, our president thinks that cops are so violent that kids have to be taught how to interact with them. Like, that's exactly what would happen.
That's how they'll spin it.
In the mind of the executive, the executive, whoever the president, I'm not saying Democrat or Republican, I'm just saying like whoever's in the Oval Office or whoever's in charge of the DMV, whoever that politician is who has to make that requirement enact it, would never do it because they would be giving political ammo to their opponents.
Mm. Nice pun there with the ammo.
I wasn't making a pun.
Oh, okay. I'll give you credit for it anyway, but... Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting topic, but listen, guys, just be safe out there, okay? And always comply. And
I was hosting this show.
Keep your hands visible. Shut yeah, up. Keep no,
your,
you're not.
Keep
you're
your just hands fucking in plain sight at all times. All right, and don't make any sudden movements because some of those guys get scared easily. So
they're half cocked,
half cocked, and ready to go. Kind of like me most nights. Thank you guys for joining
yes, let's get out of here.
Us for the show. Yeah, it's late here. Blake, it's been a pleasure, man. We got in pretty deep with that whole racism thing, you know.
Yeah, so, sorry I wasn't energized by that conversation. Yeah,
you need to actually step your racism up a little bit, I'd say. You know, everybody needs a certain level of racism, and you weren't even on the meter at all. So
I tend to shut down when conversations get deep because I feel like it would be rude to be too funny, as funny as I can be.
That's when we need though. We need to. Sometimes you need to be pulled back from the abyss.
But
you
he
know,
sounded
the,
so serious. The abyss.
I know.
And I didn't want to interrupt his flow. I mean, yeah. He was really going.
That's true.
And I was like, oh boy, I don't have anything to add. And that's what boils down to is I'm so open minded.
It's 'cause I'm black.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so open minded.
I'm so progressive
that I have a hard time getting into any conversation where it sounds like people have strong opinions on one side or the other. Like I don't get really strongly opinionated about something. And you know how like when you're talking to someone who's really strongly opinionated on a subject that you really don't want to get invested in one way or another, like someone trying to sell you on a religious idea.
Oh yeah.
I pretty much do that with deep conversations. If the person I'm hearing talking is like really strong in their belief about something and I don't also agree with them, I don't like arguing.
Yeah.
And I don't mean I disagree. I just mean like, I might ask questions and then you might think I'm arguing with you. So like, I just don't, I've had that happen. Like, I've like, well, what persuaded you to think that way? And then that's a question, right? That's me like exploring why a person thinks the way they
that's
do.
That's a trigger, actually.
But
that
can also
that.
Be,
that's a trigger.
That can also be heard as like, what makes you think that way? Mm-hmm. What makes you think that way? Why would you think that? Like, so I've always just kind of shut down when the conversation gets very.
That's kind of how I feel about
sensitive.
That's how kind of how I feel about breastfeeding in public. I feel like if you have a really strong stance on either side of this issue, I don't agree with you because I don't think this is an issue where we need to have a hard line in the sand. All right. There's a lot of discretion here. You know, you can get that little blanket to throw over the top and you can't even tell what the hell's going on underneath there, you know, but I don't want anybody who's too adamant about the way they look at it. You know, I just want somebody to say, you know, just kind of keep it to a minimum. And
I feel like breastfeeding in public is one of those issues like the red cup at Starbucks. Like it got a lot of attention as an issue. But if you actually got a head count of the people who were like really strongly opinionated about it, is actually a very small number.
Yeah.
Like it's just some loud people.
Yeah.
Like
surprisingly.
Like the red cup at Starbucks thing was basically a made up story. Like there was actually a couple blogs that talked about it. Like, so someone was mad and then other news stations picked it up because people reacted to the blogs.
Yeah.
And then people reacted to the people reacting to the blogs. So like there was never actually a movement of people who were mad about red cups at Starbucks until the story got really blown up. And then like people just did what the guys on Fox News told them to do.
Yeah. It was waves of manufactured outrage.
Yeah.
You know, oh, they're upset. Oh, we're upset too. Our group's upset. You know, we're not happy about this.
People are making fun of them for being upset about that. Well, I'm upset about that too.
I'm upset that I wasn't able to be upset about this thing. Yeah, I don't know. That was such a ridiculous issue. You know, and listen, do your thing. I don't care. I'm nothing against it. as long as you're not against me, you know, kind of taking a peek here when I see what's going on, you know? I mean, just for a second, so.
Maybe a taste.
Well,
Baby likes it.
Well, you know, we'll see if the kid's really enjoying it, then yeah, I might have to get in.
Have you ever watched a baby breastfeed? Just sat down and watched a baby breastfeed?
No, not straight up.
They enjoy it.
Oh, yeah?
They enjoy it. That shit does taste good, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Really.
They're milking that. It's like milking a fucking milk.
Yeah, that's milk. Hey, I wouldn't milk. Mind.
It tastes like cream with a little honey in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
not bad.
You want to know a funny story? When I was little, when I was about five years old, I accidentally drank some of my little brother's formula, and that shit was.
Gross.
Disgusting.
Oh my god. Yeah, we tried formula one time. We tasted it. We're like, oh my god, this is awful.
Formula's fucking gross.
Yeah. Nothing, it's not the same as getting your meal straight from the tea, you know? I mean, what better delivery system for a good quality meal?
Goat teat actually works a lot better.
Hey, have you seen babies' faces after they're done sucking on the titty?
They go like this.
So satisfied. That's
what my daughter does sometimes. She'll be like nursing her mom's food, and they'll walk by, and she'll be like, just
give you a big smile. Oh man, who wouldn't suck in on a nice teeth there? But yeah, let's wrap this shit up, guys. We're going a little long here. Blake, it's been truly a great pleasure enjoying this company with you.
Well, I'm glad that's one of us. That's mm-hmm. good.
Hey, you know, 50%, it's not terrible. It's not terrible. He's probably still on the fence too. But and all you guys, thank you guys for joining us too. We appreciate you listening here. Earful in the Emerald City, episode number 37 here. Thank you guys. If you guys enjoyed it, do us a favor and tell a friend, all right? Because we don't know shit about marketing, and things aren't going to change here in a week or two. So we need all the help we can get, guys. But for Mr. Blake Kiltoff, thank you again for joining us.
Thanks
I'm Slim.
And I'm Shoddy. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. And we are out. We got Shoddy, we got Slim, and we got Snake.
Blake the Snake. That's what they call.
We're just gonna wing this. We know the trending topics going on. But we're gonna end it on a light note with trashing on OKC because they finally know what it's like to have something ripped away from them.
Yeah, we'll end on that later in the thing. Are you a basketball fan at all?
I'm aware that Oklahoma City had a federal building ripped away from them.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Savage!
You could put
hashtag
it that way.
Hashtag savage! Oh, my
way.
God!
So I think your assertion
no.
is a little unfair.
No!
I think the citizens
no.
of Oklahoma City...
Oh, no, you didn't!
...are perfectly
oh,
familiar
no.
with grief.
Oh my god. Oh no, he didn't.
That was funny.
No,
we've actually talked
savage.
About that multiple times on the show.
You were savage. Oh my god, Snake. You were snake.
He'll give you the venom. Watch out.
Oh my god.
He'll infect you with the venom.
Oh man, that's my Tinder line.
Oh my god. You son of a bitch.
They call me Snake.
Oh my god.
You want my venom.
You fucking you Seattle comedians venom. Are savage.
Yeah.
I speak for them all.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
Basically an ambassador.
Oh my god, no he didn't. That was savage.
So what else is going on, man?
Nothing. You wanted to interview me. I've been preparing for like 3 weeks. So, like, let's
I just wanted
it.
To chat with you, man. I like talking. You know, remember you were the best guest from the last.
You said
the last one.
You used the word interview when mm-hmm. you.
Did I say that?
When you swiped right on Twitter.
Is that the gay version of Tinder?
That's like Tinder. It's like Twitter and Tinder. It's Twitter's knockoff of Tinder.
Tinder for tweens.
Yeah, no, Twitter, they were like, we got to get into the social dating app thing. Like, let's make our own. And so they came up with Twinder.
They're having trouble getting Tinder, profits going.
Tinder's done the same thing. They're trying to come up with their own version of messaging. Mm-hmm. They're calling it Titter.
Titter?
Yeah.
Mm. Do you just kind of message out about how desperate you are or how bad your situation's gotten?
Literally just tits and dicks. That's all you can send. It's the way you have to identify yourself as male or female. Sorry, mm-hmm. Seattle.
Oh, geez. Yeah, and that's going to be a problem.
Damn, man.
That's going to be a problem, Blake.
And then if you're a female, you send tits. And if it, not your tits, they're like emojis and professional tits.
Yeah.
And if you're male, you send dicks. Your dick. Has to be. Your dick.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that only makes sense.
Well.
Your dick, Aaron.
My dick. Oh, yeah. Sure.
I don't trust tit pics because that could be anyone's. And like females shouldn't trust dick pics.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but aren't you just, if you go with a picture of somebody who's more well endowed than you are, aren't you just potentially setting yourself up for disaster if things actually go out the way you planned?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't live up to that. How are you going to, you only go down from there.
You can't really lie about your dick in any context. Like, I don't know. I feel like I shouldn't say this in a city like Seattle, but I feel like you just have to be honest about your dick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't pretend it's not there or pretend it is. That's the funny thing about all this concern about transsexual celebrities and kids being gay or not gay and the things that people
or whatever they are now
a lot in the news about. It's like, wow, as a society, we put a lot of focus on the question of where dicks go. Like, we spent, I think it's because men run society, and that's something that we are pretty obsessed with. Just where dicks go. Like, dick goes here, it goes in there, doesn't go in here.
Well, time out. I think you're speaking for all men. I don't think all men are like that.
Yeah, we're not all misogynists like that. You asshole.
Yeah, anyway, I'm looking
sexist
at...
sexist pig.
I'm looking at one of the biggest sexist misogynist pigs.
Hey,
what,
you know...
What did I say?
No, I'm talking about you.
I told you, nobody's off limits, all right? Nobody's above a little criticism from
Marcus
time to time.
I thought Marcus was the misogynist.
No, nah, man, he just fucking edits softcore porn videos.
Yeah,
that's what he will always be known for.
He was standing up for the ladies. He wanted the ladies to be packing heat. He thought that was appropriate, you know?
Yeah. Who did?
Level the playing field, Marcus.
Okay.
He was for it. He said, take them away from the guys, give them to the girls, you know? Which, that would make breaking up a lot more terrifying. You know, you might reconsider working things out at that point if your life is on the line, potentially.
Hmm.
But, yeah, you can't, just because you're a woman doesn't mean that you can't be annoying, you can't say something stupid, you can't be rude, you can't be insensitive. I'm tired of them being coddled constantly and always off limits for any kind of criticism. It's fucking just kills me, you know? Everybody's willing to step right up to the plate to let me know when I do anything stupid or that they think is fucking dumb. You know, I don't know how many times I've had people come to me when I'm start dating somebody and give me their opinion and when it was completely unsolicited. You know, it's like, just give me a break, people.
No one ever gives you a break, though. No one.
I know, man. I know. I thought this white privilege thing was supposed to be a lot easier
Fuck
than it
you,
is.
Man.
You're not white.
Are you kidding me?
No. What do you have?
You should see my thighs, man. You can literally see through them. I mean.
Yeah, but you look like you got a little Serbian.
Oh, my
you.
God.
Maybe Irish.
Serbian? I don't even fucking know.
Dude, you're as white as you get. Look how thick your fucking glasses are.
He's a nerd.
I'm fucking Poindexter over here.
I'm descended of the Great White North, you know, like Slavic people. I'm
Slavic, yeah.
I'm very white.
Incredibly
white.
Yeah, they're really thick. It's. I was actually looking at. I was trying to look at them the other day, and no, it was my wife. She made a joke about
Shoot,
my glasses.
Man, with those glasses, you can.
Are you completely blind if you don't have them?
Not completely blind, but like I'm I can't find them if I lose them.
How thick those glasses are, you can see why Slim's called Slim. Or, ooh.
Yeah, there you go.
Wait, why is it, what?
I don't know. I didn't quite get it either, but.
I think he's saying you have a very, very thin penis.
Oh. Yeah. It's not short, it's thin, you know.
But this is like that rap song that was on TV. Like, I understood the two phrases you used, but I don't understand the connection. Like, my glasses are very thick, yes. How does that help me see his very, very thin penis?
You can zoom in. You got the eagle eye.
Yeah.
No, that's why I have glasses. I literally have bad eyes. Like,
oh,
what's your regular vision?
I have no idea. But like I said, if I'm like walking and I drop my glasses, I can't find them. I have to get down on the ground on my hands and knees and look.
Could you drive a car with no glasses?
Yeah. But I might kill somebody.
I can still do it though.
No, I mean, like I've had like a contact lens go bad while driving. And, that's pretty much the same situation.
Shit. That's an emergency there.
But basically, I knew where I was going, so I couldn't read the signs, but I knew what the speed limits were and where the stops were and what the street numbers were. Even though I couldn't read them, I knew where I was going, so it was fine.
Yeah.
But that's all I can see is like, okay, there's a turn coming up there's a car. But like if a puppy ran into the road, I probably wouldn't see it.
Just feel a little bump underneath. Boom, boom.
Or you may hear
I used to live up in Seattle.
Yeah,
that's what that noise was. Shit.
Oh my gosh.
I thought the brakes were getting a little stiff, you know?
I slipped a belt.
I used to live up in Snohomish for a little while, and I remember one time I was driving around in middle of town, going slow. I was going like 20 through the middle of town. It was like this old, you know, podunk town, and this cat just ran out in front of the car and fucking ran over the cat. Look in the rearview mirror, and the cat's back legs are still moving around, but the front half of the cat is just paralyzed. He's just swinging this way to that, and I was just like, oh my god, like. I don't even like cats, but I was like, oh, that was pretty bad.
So, you didn't help your case saying you don't like cats.
But I still felt really bad about it, though. I mean, it was brutal. I mean, that's a bad way to go.
That's like a cop shooting a black person saying, well, you know, I really don't like black people, but.
Jesus. All right, just save that. We'll get into that.
Anyway, before we get.